Hi, I'm Matt, just if you don't know me. I'm the children's worker at St. Andrew's, so do lots of things with the little ones. If I haven't met you, I'd love to say hello to you afterwards. But as Josh said, in the small groups and the teenagers, we've just started our new series in Genesis. And last week was week one in Genesis chapter one, the beginnings of everything. And it was a great week. We saw that God made the universe by speaking. He spoke out the universe, and when it was made, he saw it, and he said it was very good. He spoke out the universe, and it was very good. Now, chapter one, sort of a big picture of all of creation. And then we get to chapter two, and we zoom in onto a location, onto a moment in God's big, big creation. We zoom into the Garden of Eden. That's what we just read about. The Garden of Eden, or the Garden of Pleasure. We've zoomed in onto absolute paradise. So why don't you look down again at verse 8, or it should be on the screen, I think, behind me. So God's good paradise, next one, verse 8, and we'll read it again together. It says this, follow on from verse 8. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God makes a special paradise, a pleasure, a garden of pleasure to put Adam and Eve, who he's just made. I think I saw this for the first time this week. So God has made his universe in chapter one by speaking. But he's not just happy to put Adam and Eve anywhere in his new creation. In fact, he makes for them a whole garden, a special paradise for his pinnacles of creation, Adam and Eve. He takes his newly creative Adam and Eve and he puts them in a garden, a paradise. And the best thing about it is that he then lives there with them. We find out a little later that God walks through the garden in the cool of night with Adam and Eve. So they are living with God in absolute paradise. Try and picture in your head the most beautiful place you've ever been. Do it. Picture what's the most beautiful place you've ever been. Maybe giant trees with luscious flowers. Maybe a river. Maybe it's a beach. Whatever you're thinking of, try and times that by about a million. And that is where God has taken Adam and Eve and he's put them in absolute paradise to live with him. God is so good and he's so kind. In fact, he's so good that even the command, the rule that he gives Adam and Eve in the garden is brilliant. And you might be thinking, if you're smaller or even if you're older, how can a rule be brilliant? How can a rule be good? Surely rules just spoil our fun. Rules just hold us back, don't they? That's just what rules are for. They're so annoying. But they're not. Rules, good rules, God's good rules are amazing. Now we're going to play a game because I need to convince you. I'm not sure you're going to be convinced that rules can be good. So we're going to play good rule, bad rule. I've got my two stunning assistants are going to come and help me up here. Thank you. Isaac, if you could stand this side with your sign. Okay, good rule. Okay, bad rule. Alfie, just come over this way, bad rule. Brilliant. Now, kids, you can move for this. So in a minute, I'm going to give you a rule. If you think it's a good rule, move to this side of the room so you can move. Get up, or an adult, feel free to move. Get up and move if you think it's a good rule. If it's a bad rule, get up and move this way. Understand? Brilliant. Okay, so first rule, holding mum or dad's hand while crossing the road. Is that a good rule or is it a bad rule? What do we think? Let's have some moving. Good rule or bad rule? Lots of people over here. Brilliant. Okay. Yeah. Well done, Ishii, on your way over. Perfect. Excellent. Yeah, nice. I think we voted with our feet. We think this is a good rule, and I'm sure you just didn't move because you didn't want to be embarrassed. So we think holding mum or dad's hand across the street is a good, of course it's a good rule. If you just walked across without mum or dad, you might not see a car. It's dangerous to walk across the street without your adult. Perfect. Okay, how about second one? Ooh, tricky, I think. Becky's favourite rule. No ball games in the house. Is that a good rule? Mums, you can move if you'd like. Is that a good rule or a bad rule? What do we think? Good rule or a bad rule? We've got a bit of movement. Okay, some dad's trying to drag across. I like it. Excellent. Oh, Tim's going for it. Nice. Okay, good rule, bad rule. Now, it probably depends on your perspective. If you're that house owner and you don't want your things broken, you think, oh, great rule. But if you want to play ball games in the house and have fun, that's a terrible rule. Okay, next one. Here we go. Listening to your teacher at school. Good rule, bad rule. What do we think? I think less tricky, probably this one. Yeah, good rule. Well done, Logan. Good rule. It's a good rule, isn't it? Listening to your teacher means that you're learning. If you don't listen, you're distracting everybody else. What a good rule it is to listen to your teacher at school. Couple more, I think. Next one. Oh. That's what I think. Okay. Always be quiet in church. Good rule, bad rule. What do we think? Ooh, interesting. Yeah, you can move. You can move. Okay. Hey, Jack. Good rule. Yeah, okay. Now, as a children's worker, lots of schools come and visit our church, and without fail, every teacher, before they walk through the door, says, shh, it's a church, you've got to be quiet. I think that's a bad rule. There are sometimes it's good to be quiet in church, but we can be as noisy as we like. We've been singing songs, clapping our hands. I think it's a bad rule sometimes to be quiet in church. Okay, next one. Eat your vegetables. Oh, look at that. That was quick. Good rule, bad rule. We might not like them, but it is good, isn't it, to eat your vegetables to become big and strong. Excellent. Let's quickly, last one. This is helpful for us. No climbing on the tree outside church. Is that a good rule or a bad rule? She's moved. Oh, Georgie and Buzz have moved. I think it's a good rule. But I can understand why you might think it's about. It's good, isn't it? We don't want to climb the tree when no one's watching. What if we fell and hurt ourselves? That would be dangerous. So good rule, bad rule. I think I might have convinced you that some rules are good. Now, go and have a seat. Go and have a seat. Thank you so much. Give them a big clap. Well done. Safe there. Oh, well done. Brilliant. Excellent. Now, let's have the next couple of verses on the screen. Let me read them to you. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. God is so good to Adam and Eve. He's put them in absolute paradise, and then he gives them a great command, a great rule. Let me show you why it's so good. David, can you press down again? Do you see, he says, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Now, sometimes I get mistaken, and I think the Garden of Eden is just like 3 meters by 3 meters, like my back garden, with one or two trees right in the middle. That couldn't be further from the truth, could it? God said there are loads of trees. In fact, in the Garden of Eden, there are 4 rivers flowing through and out of it. It's massive. The Garden of Eden is huge, and God says to them, you're free, free to eat from any tree. Go and eat, go and enjoy the garden that I'm living in with you. And then he says, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there's just one. Out of all of this, there's just one tree. Don't eat that fruit. And then he says, the rule gets even better. And he tells us why. David, go down one more. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, if God didn't tell Adam and Eve that, he wouldn't be good. It is a good thing to warn somebody where there's danger. Like not crossing the street without your mum and dad is dangerous. So mum and dad say, hold my hand across the street because they love you and they want to keep you safe. God says you're free to eat from any tree, just not this one, because it is dangerous. When you eat from this tree, you will die. So don't do it. God is so good. He abundantly gives to Adam and Eve. Even his commands are so good to them. And just before I hand back over to Josh for the first time, I want to ask you, do you believe that God is so good and that his commands are for your good and are so good. Do you know that? When you come across something in the Bible and it is a command from the Lord, do you think, God, I know you're good and I know that that is for my good, and then follow it? I don't always do that. I often forget that God is so abundantly good. Just take one example. What about money? God says, do not live and go after money. Don't live for it. Don't go after it. And he says, don't do that because you can't love money and me at the same time. And when you die, your money's going to get you nothing. You can't take your money with you. It just rots away after you've gone. But he says, if you seek after me, and if you treasure in me, not me, God, then when you die, you get to come and live in my paradise with me forever. It's a good rule, don't go after money, because if you do that, you miss God. And God says, come after me instead. And I'm sure you can think of other things. When we come across God's rules, are we thinking, God, you are so good. Thank you for telling me. Thank you for warning me. Help me live for you. So we've seen God's goodness, his good paradise to Adam and Eve, and we've seen his great rule to them to enjoy the garden and to steer clear of death. But now we're going to see the moment, we're going to zoom right in again on the moment where God's good creation is broken, is gone. In one conversation, God's good creation is broken. And on the screen, we're going to have the conversation between the snake and Eve. And I've got some questions. I need you to do a bit of the work for me this morning. So turn to maybe the people around you, or you can do it on your own. That's totally fine. And I'll read that bit again. And then you've got three questions. Just a couple of minutes. Don't worry if you don't get through all of them. Let's just get our eyes down and get excited by the Bible. So let me read it. And then there's some questions here. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay, 2 minutes. Have a think. Look at those questions. Chat to the people around you on your own. Go. Excellent. Now, I might be cutting you short, but that's okay. It's great, isn't it, to chat to people about God's words, to dive in and see what we can work out as we open the Bible together. Isn't the snake so sneaky, though? He's so crafty, like it said in verse 1. Slowly but surely, the snake twists God's words and starts to get Eve and Adam with her to doubt God's goodness. The thing we've been looking at so much, they get them to start doubting that God's word, that God himself is good. Eve starts to think that actually God's commands are bad, not good. The snake is trying to make God out to be really stingy. Did you see that? For God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. See, God's trying to withhold something from you. His commands are bad. They're not good for you. The snake twists everything, and Adam and Eve, will they lap it up? They believe the snake, that God is withholding, that God is not good. And so they decide to ignore God's good command and do their own thing. Verse 6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. You see, although Adam and Eve should have trusted God, he'd been so good to them, they ignored his command, they turned from him, and they did their own thing. Immediately, everything changed. God's good place was broken. Sin had entered the world for the first time. When Adam and Eve chose to ignore God and his goodness and go their own way, everything was broken. Their relationship with each other was broken. Their relationship with God was broken. And eventually their relationship with the world becomes broken. And as a result, God sends Adam and Eve out of his garden, the absolute paradise that he had made for them. And you see, the Bible tells us that we've all done exactly the same thing as Adam and Eve. We've ignored, we've forgotten God's goodness and his good commands, and we've thought we know better. We've ignored him and gone our own way. And there's just nothing we can do about it. It's a bit like this. Josh, I might need your help. It's a bit like this, okay? So I've got my ladder. Okay. I'm a pumpkin. Just bear with me. Okay. Thank you. Now, oh, you can't see me. Didn't think about that. Got our pumpkin. Now, God made a good creation, didn't he? And he gave it to Adam and Eve and gave them good rules. But they doubted his goodness, they ignored him, and they did their own thing. Sin had entered the world and it broke everything. Smashed to bits. And you know, the Bible says there's just nothing we can do about it. We can't put that back together. There's just no way I can get all of that back in. That pumpkin is ruined. There's nothing that I can do about it. It's totally broken. And the Bible says that when sin entered the world, it was the same thing. Totally broken. Relationships broken. Relationship with God broken. And there was nothing that we can do about it. And that is just the worst news ever. What a disaster. God's good paradise broken because of man's sin. And it'd be terrible, wouldn't it, if the story ended there. There's nothing we can do about it. There's a broken relationship with God. What an awful way for the story to end. But let's remember, it's only Genesis chapter 3. What a terrible place it would be to end. The Bible would only be 3 pages long. Awful, broken relationship with God and others. But the great news, the great, great news, is that God's goodness doesn't stop even when we turn from it. And even while God is telling Adam and Eve the consequences for their sin, he also whispers a promise and says that one day a man would come and would crush that snake and would defeat sin once and for all and would start to put God's good paradise back together. Now, they looked forward from there, but we look back, don't we? And we know that that was Jesus. He came and he died on the cross. He took the penalty for my sin and for your sin, and he rose to new life. And Jesus says that if you trust in him, well, one day he will return and we will get to go to God's good paradise with Jesus and live with him there forever. What great news. There is a way back to God's good paradise. It's not by anything we do. It's because Jesus has come and died for sin and one day will return and bring us into paradise with him and his Father forever. Just like Adam and Eve, we will get to walk through the Garden City with the Lord Jesus. What an amazing day that is to look forward to. Let me just pray, and then I'll hand back over to Josh. Father in heaven, we thank you for your abundant goodness to us, that you give and you give and you give. Lord, we are so sorry for the times we doubt your goodness and turn away. But we praise you all the more that you don't leave us separate from you, that you sent your Son to die for us and draw us back. Please help us look forward to that day when we'll get to be in your good paradise forever. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.